morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. Today we'll be discussing Verde Valley issues with two candidates for mayor of Cottonwood.
Yes, Mike? Correct. Absolutely. That's right. We got a kind of exciting little thing going on here. We have two council people running for council, running for mayor so far. And Terrence Pratt is here in the studio. Tim Alinsky is here with us in the studio. And both have expressed their intention for running for the mayor of Cottonwood.
And you're a Cottonwood resident.
I am a Cottonwood resident. I've lived in Sedona, and I've lived in Cottonwood.
So we're going to talk about Cottonwood issues. And Cottonwood, for someone who lives in Sedona and the rest of the Verde Valley, has been on the upswing now for a decade. When I first visited particularly Old Town Cottonwood, 15 years ago, when I would come back and a year later, the little stores would have disappeared. And things would, it was like lights coming on and off. And then suddenly, Mike, the lights stayed on, and we have a thriving Old Town Cottonwood. The town itself seems to be doing well. It's about 12,000 people, is it?
We're going to ask him that question, but right now we want him to get to, let's do a little ID here. Good morning, Terrence.
Good morning.
Morning, Tim.
Good morning.
That was our voice check. And make sure that everybody's still awake. But go ahead. You guys are running. Let's start with Terrence. And why?
Why am I running for mayor of Cottonwood?
That's it.
I originally ran for city council because people recruited me to run for city council because
there you go.
I'm a loudmouth and I talked about a lot about what was going on in the city. And somebody said, put your money where your mouth is.
Cool.
And at the time I ran, it was the beginning of the renaissance of Cottonwood that I caught. Mm. We became a really cool place to live, great quality of life. And I'm really, really excited about what's going on in Cottonwood. We did have a drug problem, and I think Matt Force worked really hard to clean that up. And then we had some local entrepreneurs who took chances in Cottonwood. And one of them, of course, Eric Jurison, small business owners.
We have given Eric his props on the show. Yeah. We have given Jim Ledbetter his props on the show.
Jim Ledbetter. There's a whole group of them.
Yes.
They really worked together to rebuild Old Town and make it a really cool place to be. And I think we have great momentum, so I want to continue that momentum going.
Yeah.
And again, I've had people encourage me to run for mayor, and I said, yeah, I will.
How long were you on the council, Terry?
I've been on the city council 8 years.
Okay. All right, Tim. We'll come back to you, Terrence. Tim, what do you got?
First, just let me say thanks a lot to Democratic Perspective and you, Mike, and Steve for hosting the show and having us present here this morning. And good morning to everyone out there in radio land as well. So, why am I running for mayor? Well, I've served the city of Cottonwood for 11 years now. I was on planning and zoning for 1 year prior to being appointed to serve on the city council. I've campaigned twice to keep my seat on the council. Uh-huh. And the reason I'm serving now is because it is such important work. It's very important to serve your community. You realize you can make a big difference in a community our size. And so I've decided to keep serving to the best of my capacity. Our current mayor, Diane Jones, is stepping up to run for county supervisor. And there's another gentleman, Randy Garrison, who's stepping up as well to run for that same seat. They both currently serve on our council. But with them leaving, I can see there's going to be a real void in leadership. And so I'm stepping up to fill that void.
That'd be some continuity.
Mm-hmm. So as Terrence alluded to, there's been a renaissance in Cottonwood. For folks who don't live in the Verde Valley, we have a town that was doing okay And now it's kind of really doing great. The wine industry is filled with the wine industry, new restaurants. People in Sedona who think of themselves as having the best restaurant now go to Cottonwood to have lunch.
That's right.
You know, they do.
You
guys have got better restaurants, better prices in your restaurant than we do up here. It's at least that's what some people think. And it's a little bit concerning. So how did this renaissance take place? And what was your contribution to it?
Like I said, it happened with entrepreneurs. It happened cleaning up the drug problem. But it also happened because I think we have a city who works together, council, staff, and business owners. The other thing, and I've been a big part of this, is I've really been involved in city stuff even before I was on city council. I was involved in youth activities. I served on the board for the Boys and Girls Club, coached a lot of sports, and I've been involved in a lot of our events. We've become known as an event city. We had things like Rhythm and Ribs, Walking on Main Street, which is a wine and arts festival, which actually was my idea. That was right. The first thing I did when I got on the council. I said, let's try this. Thunder Valley Rally, which scared a lot of people.
Yeah.
Brings an awful lot of people to our town, and we've had very little problems with that because I think the motorcycle community is not understood by a lot of people.
Explain a little bit about what that is, Terrence, for people who don't know.
Well, the casino used to host Thunder Valley Rally, and about six years ago, they said, we can't do it anymore. Would you guys do it? And we said, yeah, okay. So it's a motorcycle event. You bring people to town, there's food, there's music, camaraderie. And like I said, a lot of people were really worried.
And a crap load of motorcycles.
About the motorcycles. And I work the event. I'm the MC for the event. And I get to introduce all the bands and talk to people. And I go out on the street and I talk to these folks and I say, these aren't the one percenters. And I've met groups that are totally made up of veterans, groups that are made up of Christians and they're promoting their ideas, groups that are made up of people who are concerned about child abuse. So you have very active motorcycle groups who are doing a public service who come up here and just like to gather together. And in fact, last year, like I said, we only had 6 arrests, and all 6 of those were local people. And the thing it does is they come to our town, they have a great weekend, then they come back. So it's really a good economic driver for the city to have these events.
An anecdote. It's the first time I ever saw anybody use a chainsaw as a musical instrument, though. I have to admit that. I don't remember the name of the band.
Jackal.
But I was at the Thunder Valley Rally. So I was standing behind the stage, and I saw this guy come off stage and try to get this the chainsaw going. I said, what is he going to do with this? And then they worked it into the song somehow. I said, okay, this is a first. I've never seen anybody use a chainsaw.
You didn't think it was going to be the chainsaw massacre.
I know. Well, you know how those. No, it was great. So yes, an event driven town. They had lots of events in an old town that 3 blocks there with 6 tasting rooms now, as I count them, if you count the rum and vodka place.
For folks who don't know, I mean, Cottonwood has an old town that's really like an old-fashioned main street of a little town anywhere in America. It looks sort of like my hometown in Oklahoma, Claremore, and it has so it has this really compact area with lots of stores and stuff, and it's so walkable. So much of our cities now, and in fact up here, there's very few places you can walk. You can walk in uptown Sedona, but other areas are not really connected. Tim, what role did you have, and what role do you think the council and the mayor should have in encouraging more development, or where do you want to go with Cottonwood? And I guess that's.
Yeah, well, I'll say that back in 2011, really in response to losing the Strahan House, which was a red brick late Queen Anne Victorian home that was right across from where Hog Wild sits on that empty Knackered property. Mm-hmm. That we lost that home. It was demolished.
I thought that.
Why did they
Schiller.
Demolish all those homes across the street from where Hog Wild is?
I can't say exactly why the owner demolished them, but they claim that one home was certainly too far beyond repair to restore.
But nothing was ever rebuilt there.
No, nothing's been rebuilt. But in reaction to that, I decided to start the Historic Preservation Commission in Cottonwood, which we started in 2011. Our primary role is, of course, economic development in Cottonwood, but really it's also to promote and preserve our natural and historical resources. So we have really a lot of great community resources that are historic in Cottonwood, Old Town specifically. So the commission's been working hard since then to promote and preserve those resources, to identify which homes are historic, which homes are significant. And
I had been in that house, and I know what you mean, and I also listen to the people from the state talk about its problems.
Yeah,
its...
it was the second oldest home in Cottonwood, so it was really a shame to lose it. I think my business is in restoring older homes, so I certainly could have found creative ways to make sure that home still stood today.
And would you say, and I'm going to make you go out on a limb here, and this may happen often through this program, that the only reason that home wasn't saved was money. Because that was in pretty bad shape. Mm-hmm. I saw the slumpy walls, you know, that were...
Yeah, absolutely. There weren't any resources available to restore that home, to save that home. So certainly it almost always comes down to money.
Sometimes that's what it takes. I mean, the famous incident is in New York was the destruction of beautiful Penn Station, this mm-hmm. giant, really old building filled with glass panes, absolutely beautiful building. That was the last historic structure they were able to ever to destroy in New York without a process mm-hmm. about it. And they just tore it down and built this giant, efficient, ugly thing in mm-hmm. its place. But that was the last time. That was the last straw. So maybe with this house, what else, Tim? How much? I guess for somebody from the outside, what Cottonwood starts with is this old town area that so many towns don't have anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They don't have a street with the buildings right on the sidewalk, Mike, and that makes a difference. It has a different feel than when everything is scattered out and you drive from one place and you park in a parking lot and you walk to the store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a real unique gem in Cottonwood. There's precious few cities and towns throughout Arizona that are like Old Town Cottonwood. And again, you know, we don't have a single chain restaurant or business down in Old Town, so it's really very unique across the state.
Yeah, people support it. Yeah. I mean, from all over, and certainly locals do. I know that when you talk about other towns in Arizona, you know, Globe, Miami, Superior, all those old mining era mm-hmm. towns, of which Cottonwood is in many ways.
Correct.
Between Clarkdale and Jerome. The Cottonwood was the merchant and the breadbasket of the area. Those towns were not successful in saving, or at least in improving. Now, there's one of the reasons the whole town is. Now, there's other parts of Cottonwood, by the way, folks, and I don't want to be slighting any of them. There's some wonderful a place where I live, a place where these guys live, but we're talking about Old Town here. That they didn't develop or find the resources or have the tax dollars to improve their downtowns yet. Mm-hmm. And they're crumbling. I mean, if you go to those communities.
Yeah, one of the things is a fellow who quite a few years ago, his name is William Kunstler, wrote a book called The Geography of Nowhere. And it's what happens. He's looked at cities when they outgrow their infrastructure.
Huh.
And then they spread out and they become something like Prescott Valley. I meet a lot of people in Old Town who are here for the weekend who used to come to Sedona, and one of the reasons they state, and I'm a pretty sociable guy. I go up and talk to people, and they come and talk to me, and so hey, you look like Tommy Tonk.
Those lime green glasses probably get a lot of, yeah.
And they said, we come to Cottonwood because it's a pedestrian-friendly city. Old Town, you can park in one parking lot and build, see all the other businesses. The other thing we did, and this was
Mike can reach
initiative.
All the bars on foot.
Yeah.
I think that's a big
yeah.
plus.
I'm saving that for
the
later.
The other thing
now.
We did, and this was my initiative, when I first got on the city council, I had an agenda item put on our agenda. What can we do to support small, local, privately owned businesses. And that was in response to an article I had read by Thomas Hartman, Stop Them From Eating My Town. And the council and the staff jumped on it, and we teamed up with a group called Local First. Mm. And really promoted. They put out some really nice brochures.
We had a program with Local First.
Yeah, yeah. Kimber Lanning.
Yeah.
And then she asked me to do a presentation at the League of Cities and Towns one year, and I did it. And I had people from numerous other towns coming up saying, how did you guys do this?
Yeah, we want
to do this. Yeah, we're from Surprise, and we would like to be like you.
Yeah.
And again, it just takes cooperation from a lot of people. But also cognizance that you need to support the local privately owned businesses.
Yeah. Let's talk about a mayoral campaign for a minute. Tim, you started your campaign. You started 2 months ago. I know you have events in local mm-hmm. businesses. Speaking of local business, I attended the one that was held in a bar. Actually, there's probably more than one that was held in a bar, but I attended one of them. I may have been in the bar and you guys came in. I'm not sure exactly how it worked, but anyway, I was there at that brewery in, and we can say that kind of stuff here. That we have a brewery in Cottonwood, just as Sedona does. I've been in both of them many times. And you had an event there for mm-hmm. your candidacy.
That's right.
Terrence, are you ever going to start?
I am starting this week. My website is almost done.
Because we made you come on the show.
Yeah, no. My website is almost done. I've talked to numerous people, and I have people who want to to work with me. I've had people ask if they could be a campaign manager. I wasn't sure if I needed one. In fact, I had a couple over the house last night who were talking about supporting me.
All right. So you are moving toward that
direction. The primary is 5 months away.
Yes.
That's a long time.
That's a long time.
So I figured 5 months is good. I got stuff in line. I've got my platform made out. And so I'm, I'll be starting this week, and I will be having events.
I think we should ask him, Mike, starting with Tim, why do you want to run for mayor? You're on the council already. Both of you, gentlemen, have been on the council for a long time. Mm-hmm. Why do you want to run for mayor? Is it a strong mayoral position?
You didn't like the question he gave at the beginning of the show, but that's okay. Make him go deeper.
Yeah. No, it's good. No, I'll certainly go deeper. I appreciate the question. I believe that Cottonwood is ready for strong leadership in the mayoral seat. And I don't mean to suggest that Mayor Diane Jones hasn't provided that, but I think that our council lacks direction right now. And I'm hoping to provide better direction from the council to give to staff to further our economic goals in Cottonwood.
We're talking to Tim Alinsky, Cottonwood City Council person and candidate for mayor of Cottonwood. And we have Terrence Pratt, Cottonwood City Council person and running for mayor of Cottonwood. Go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry. I think I cut you off.
No, that's good. I just feel like I have a set of skills that's very applicable for the position.
So what do you think you can bring to the position of mayor? I know you don't like to be put in that bragging position, but that we demand that of all politicians, don't we, Mike? You can't be discreet. You got to tell us, you got to say, I'm going to, whatever it is.
Well, it is. We had a candidate that said he was running for a federal seat from a state seat simply because he saw it as the next step in the process. And he lost the seat because people didn't mm-hmm. embrace that as being a real reason to run. Well, go ahead, Tim.
No, I don't tend to brag on myself much, and I won't do that here either. But I do have
what campaign managers are for.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why you need a campaign manager.
Right. So, I'm born and raised here in Arizona. I grew up in a very small rural community just north of Payson on the East Verde River. There's a small little community out there. It was a rural upbringing, and again, I went to school in Payson. Also, at that time, very small town. Economically depressed, the mill had just shut down out there, so it was sort of slipping into its economic depression during those years. And yet my grandfather came through Arizona back in the depression. He rode the boxcars out from Pennsylvania. He was a coal miner. He hoboed his way out to Seattle and down the coast looking for work, eventually settled in Arizona and New Mexico building infrastructure projects for the CCC. And my father was raised in Glendale, and it was 15,000 folks living in Glendale when my father grew up, 500,000 in the state when my grandfather first rolled through. So I have some history here in Cottonwood, and I realize that without good leadership, it's very easy for things to get off course. and we could get easily swamped by growth that isn't controlled and regulated, you know, to be smart growth, you know, private business interests that come in. There's a variety of ways that we can get knocked off kilter.
The West is full of events and times and in its history when
lost chances, right?
People saw a way to make money and devastate or partially devastate a community.
Yeah, and I come from the private sector. Like I said, I'm self-employed. I've been self-employed for 15 years. So I see things differently. I see things from a more efficient perspective. And so I hope to bring some of that efficiency as well to our city government.
The sticky question is always between staff and council. I don't care what community it is. I think over the course of the next several months, you guys will both be faced with those questions. You know, who's running the show? You know, it's like in Stand and Deliver. Who's running the show, man?
It's different for folks to understand that this is a council manager form of government.
Yeah.
So it's different than, you know, a lot of folks move out here from the East Coast. They're used to a strong mayor form of government. We don't really have that out here. It's council managers. So the council's job is to provide very clear direction to its city manager, who then implements our policies. So without providing that clear direction, then of course staff can't do its job as effectively as possible.
And that we might talk more about. Go ahead, Terrence.
I was going to say, I found it very easy to work with staff. There have been issues where citizens have come to me. For instance, early on, there was one with the dog park, and a woman was being bothered by the dog park. She contacted me. I went down to her house and said, yes, you do have an issue. I was able to go to the city manager and say, we need to do something about this. I had contractors come to me and say, the city isn't really working well with us. I could go to the city manager and say, here's what I'm hearing. We need to do something about this. It's interesting Tim said smart growth, because if you look at my campaign signs from the past elections, the phrase you would see on there was smart growth. Mm. And, of course, it begged the question, how is that different than stupid growth?
And growth is growth.
I referred them to the geography of nowhere when you outgrow your infrastructure. But smart growth encompasses a lot of things. And one is enhancing the quality of life, providing recreation, providing artistic events. Another one is promoting economic development. And I've talked to our economic development director and said, you know, we're doing well. Tourism is an economic driver, but we need to go beyond tourism. And I've urged him to recruit low-impact, maybe high-tech type of businesses that pay a livable wage.
How's that going?
He's got some feelers out there.
All right.
And we have the ideal place for it. We have a college nearby for people that need more training. There are some businesses up on Airport Road that are doing that kind of high-tech stuff.
You have space and land that's not horribly expensive. Sedona's problem is that the land here is so expensive that putting in even a small tech internet company or manufacturer just very, very hard to do, if not impossible.
Mm-hmm. And the problem with tourism is economic growth. It's good for the city. It's not always good for the workers, because a lot of the jobs in tourist-type industries don't pay that well.
Right.
Also, I've been a big advocate for... And our council has, for alternate transportation. We have a great bus system that serves the whole Verde Valley.
Another point of pride for my little community is it was started as that on-demand thing, and we have people our size don't have public transportation.
You look at the number of riders every month. The other thing is, I've been a real advocate for the veterans, being a brother of two Vietnam era veterans and the son of a World War II veteran. And Cottonwood has come to be known as a veteran-friendly city, and I'm really proud of that, and the vets really appreciate it.
That's true, and having the VA hospital in Prescott doesn't hurt, even though it is the magic number in the VA is 40 miles, and depending on where you live, it's 40 miles.
But we do have an outpatient clinic.
We have a great outpatient clinic that I use. I'm a veteran, and that's my primary healthcare provider. I can talk a lot about it. Whatever you've heard about the VA, it is really improved its act. It provides great health care to, and when I go there, to a huge, wide number and extremely diverse group of folks that see the Cottonwood medical facility for the VA. Right after Vietnam, when I lived in Cottonwood, I saw some figures because I was in the reserve in 1980. There was 70% combat veterans in the Cottonwood area. There was 70% of the military, the ex-military that lived in the area were had combat experience. And so it became, that's, the story gets much longer after that. But
Where, I guess to ask both of you, both Tim and Terrence, where do you go from here? In other words, is Cottonwood, I guess my first question, is Cottonwood as successful as it looks like from the outside compared to where it was? And what do you do to get to the next stage? What's the fundamental thing? And what can you do as mayor to encourage the further enrichment of the environment of Cottonwood and also economic development?
Yeah, that's, it's funny. We talked earlier in the program about how vibrant Cottonwood is and how Old Town is really coming around. It's the renaissance, as Terrence referred to it. And I would agree, it's certainly come a long way. I've lived in Old Town for 10 years now. When I first bought my home, people thought I was crazy. But I knew that, you know, the crime would clean up, and it certainly has. And I knew it would come around because it's the historic core of Cottonwood, and it had nowhere to go but up.
Right.
And through the private and public partnerships, we've certainly seen a great increase in economic development down there. However, Cottonwood, like Old Town, like the rest of Cottonwood, really still is struggling economically. And I know that you see more, I believe you said, more lights on frequently in Old Town these days. But you have to understand there's certainly a lot of, there's high business turnover in Cottonwood, and there's still quite a few vacant storefronts. So we have businesses turning over frequently down there, as we do throughout Cottonwood. So we're still not out of the woods yet, and it's important to understand that those small businesses are still really struggling.
But one of the things I remember from the 80s was Cottonwood is 6 square miles. Mm-hmm. Camp Verde Incorporated in 1988, 43 square miles. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a completely different vision of now, you know, Cottonwood, small government, small area, let the county do it. Certainly at the time. Now, when that happened, the mayor went out and got drunk, and I think there was a renaissance of thinking, anyway, of maybe smaller isn't better. Now, once again, the reality of the situation is you have these 12,000 people that live in Verde Village paying sales tax in Cottonwood, right, and helping us out with all our stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to ask about the tax base of, right, of Cottonwood.
Yeah.
Is it sales tax? Do you have a property tax?
No, Cottonwood is 100% sales tax. We rely on a 3% sales tax. And Cottonwood proper is only 11,271 people, according to the last census. So it really is the outlying areas that come in and shop and everything and help, you know, support the services that we provide to the rest of the community.
I know you guys are both in trouble here, but when I say it, but I'm going to say it. Annexation is, Phoenix is what it is today through annexation.
Mm-hmm.
What about Cottonwood?
I have problems with us spreading out too much. Okay, again, you do not want to outgrow your infrastructure. Water is an issue. We live in the Southwest. We have to be really cognizant of our water. In fact, quite a few years ago, even before I was on the city council, the local water companies approached the city and said, would you buy us? What happened was the government lowered the acceptable parts per billion of arsenic per 1,000 gallons, and they said, we cannot do the arsenic remediation. Mm. So we bought water companies that were really in poor shape. So it's a good thing that we control the water. One of the water companies we bought, they were losing 43% of the water they pumped.
Wow.
I mean, we replaced thousands of feet of pipes. We've done the arsenic remediation. We've tried to be really careful about the rates. We did have to raise the rates because they hadn't raised them in 10 years. But we had a committee that I was on that met, had constituents from all over, and we looked at our rates compared to other cities. Go pay water bill in Clarkdale. It's a lot higher. So that's really important.
Yeah.
Our streets. You do not want to develop and build too many neighborhoods because we don't have the streets to handle the traffic. If you drive down 89 the bypass at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it's pretty packed.
It's pretty
we
packed.
We don't want to have the problem Sedona has. Sedona's having a traffic problem right now.
Yes. So after 40 years in the Verde Valley, Cottonwood has a rush hour.
I'm a big supporter of infill. We have a lot of empty lots in town. where you can build. So I don't think we need to spread out.
Well, that's...
Tim?
Yeah, I'll speak on the annexation issue. I think you're referring to the 10 square miles of state trust land.
Is that one of the things I'm referring to?
Yeah, I'm not a proponent of growth. It doesn't... I don't believe it pays for itself at the end of the day, but we also have to be realistic that we're surrounded by, the state trust land, which is basically private property. It can be sold and will be sold to developers,
right?
Barring some major change down at the legislature and how we handle the state trust land. But, I'm in favor of annexing that land into the city of Cottonwood because we have control over our infrastructure and because every gallon of water that we deliver to our customers, we get back about over 70% of that water, which we can then reuse. Again and again. So we have good, recharge into the aquifer. We have good use of our reclaimed water. So if that were developed out in the county, you'd likely see wells and septic tanks.
Especially the entrance. That's what we're talking about, folks, is that really the entrance to Cottonwood from the Sedona side. And that if a city, I don't want to get too close to the echo of national campaigns, but if an area doesn't control, it's at least its entrance or certain aspects of it, then I don't know. Does it really have any control over its destiny, over its future?
Well, we're struggling now because of being surrounded by the Verde Village. Those folks feel like they're over a barrel right now with City of Cottonwood because they're not incorporated into our municipal boundary yet. We provide them with their water. We have differential water rates, so they feel like they're not being treated fairly. I don't want to get into a situation where we're surrounded by more county land where they believe they live in Cottonwood, but in reality they don't live within the city limits.
And that happens in Sedona too. People who live in the village of Oak Creek believe they live in Sedona, and they'll approach the city council person with all kinds of complaints and suggestions and stuff. And then when you ask them where they live outside the city.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting issue, I think, that's all over the country.
Yeah, and all the septic tanks are going to start to fail out there in the Verde Village. And so, from an environmental perspective, that's just really a nightmare out there. It could have been avoided if there was better leadership at the time to take them into the fold of the city and provide them the infrastructure that they needed.
Well, you'll never hear from this guy that Camp Verde, was a forward-thinking progressive, but at least in that one instance, they control their environs. At least they can make the decisions. Now, whether they can afford to or not, that's a whole other story.
Right.
Yeah, there was a move to annex the villages many years ago.
I remember.
And the people didn't want it.
That's right.
And it is a shame, and it hurt them. But it should be noted, when we had the Water Commission Committee that met for a year before we decided to raise the rates, we did have people from the Verde Villages on the committee.
Okay, good.
And they perfectly well understood why the rates are higher out in their area.
Well, they were having, Cordis Lakes was having water failures out there all the time. And so those people that remember that know why the rates went up. So just to be clear, Cottonwood was served by three or four private water companies, just as Sedona is now. At least by one major water company.
And, a single major water company, yes.
And they bought them. They borrowed money and bought and got control over the single biggest resource that any community has to control if it wants to have something to do with its own
development. What's the population of the Verde Villages as compared to Cottonwood?
Is it 17,000 maybe?
17.
It's bigger than Cottonwood.
Wow.
They have more residents. But, again, you have to look at, we provide them services. Like, as I said, I go to the rec center every day, 5-6 days a week.
Yeah.
I go early in the morning, and I meet a lot of people. And an awful lot of those people are from outside of the city.
I want to say that because I said it
they
off.
They love using our facilities. If you go down to the ball fields and you see the softball leagues, 70-80% of those people live outside the city of Cottonwood. They go down and use our disc golf course. They go down and use our dog park. So we provide a lot of services to people in the Verde Village. And yes, they're supporting us through their sales tax, but we are providing services to them that they wouldn't have without Cottonwood.
Cottonwood is such a unique place. I said before off air that every time I drive by that rec center and this beautiful, just complete facility with all of these things to do with the weights and the swimming pool and the climbing wall and all this good stuff. And it's so used. I mean, that parking lot is full from the minute it opens to the minute it closes. And you can get there via public transportation. you know, very little public pooling of money. I believe in this case it was a bond, but that's the beauty of taxation. Use it and to benefit so many folks. The and as you say, it serves people from outside the community as much as it does or more in. It's a beautiful thing.
So where should Cottonwood go now, Tim, Terrence? Where should you head now? You've had some successes. Cottonwood's come back from a very difficult situation, to say the least, mm-hmm. and it's had a lot of success, and it looks successful. The things like TripAdvisor, everybody's writing you guys up. Mm-hmm. It's now being recommended as a tourist destination. Something 15 years ago when I moved to Sedona would be just sort of unthinkable.
Right. I think where we head now, from my perspective anyway, is we've got 2,050 new housing units that are going to be built at Bahia Montaña, which is right across from Verde Santa Fe. So we have to consider, you know, Cottonwood within the next 15 years could grow by 40% based on those number of housing units. We have to put people in those homes. So we really have to make a decision here as a community. Who do we want to put in those homes? Hmm. How do we want to fill our community? We know it's going to grow. It's just a matter of attracting the right people to our community. So really, I think where we need to go now is to get focused again on our branding study that we sort of started and make sure that we brand ourselves as a community that is both progressive, that cares about education, that cares about small businesses, its water, its natural resources, and get ourselves branded as such so that we can start attracting the right type of folks here.
What do you mean sort of started?
So we sort of started a branding study some years back, which is really where the culmination of which was our new logo, Heart of the Verde Valley Wine.
Oh, right.
Heart of, what is it, Terrence?
Heart of the Arizona Wine Country.
Heart of Arizona Wine Country. So really that was the culmination was the logo, but really as part of a larger assessment where we looked at what makes Cottonwood unique from the rest of the state. And really what rose to the top, there were many things, but what rose to the top as being unique to Cottonwood alone was it embracing the wine industry and having the storefronts and everything available in Old Town to have the tasting rooms and whatnot. So it is what makes us unique, that among you know many other things. For example, that we have a river that flows year-round that flows through Cottonwood is another thing that makes us unique. We have a lot of assets and resources within our community that we could use to brand ourselves to attract a different economy than what we've been attracting in the past.
You've heard on this show before that if you go to Old Town Cottonwood, you see a great big iron thing that says Gateway to the Verde River at the jail trail. And one of the things I like is
the romantically named Jail Trail.
Jail Trail, right. Exactly. Well, what I like is the increased public access all over the Verde Valley. But
it's a wonderful trail.
Right. It is.
Yeah, we've been really aware of that it's important to preserve our open space and to promote our open space. I hike the Jail Trail frequently. My wife and I in the morning will just say, let's go take a walk. And again, while we're walking, in fact, last week I met a whole group from Vermont.
Oh,
out there hiking.
Yeah, yeah.
And they said, this is really cool. You have access to this from a retail area.
An urban setting,
yeah.
Almost.
So we can park, go in the stores, and then we can take a walk, and we're out along this beautiful river, and you got the beautiful cottonwood trees. And I think it's one of only 20 such areas in the world, the mix of willow and cottonwood. So we've been really, as a city, we've been really cognizant of that. And again, we provide unique things. We have the only disc golf course in the area. And when we decided to do that, I said, okay, disc golf.
Yeah.
And then I realized, I go down there, how popular it is.
Yeah.
And I talk to people. People come from Flagstaff to use our disc golf course.
It is a young
So,
young
yeah, we need
like
to,
that.
As Tim said, our branding, we need to continue branding ourselves as a place that isn't just a tourist destination for retail, but we have open spaces and we have a lot of recreation. And that people can do a large number of things in our city and just have a good time.
Well, the other thing, as you both know, is medical. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you notice from as an outsider that is between Flagstaff and Phoenix, we're it.
Right.
cottonwood is that now we have the little medical facility here in Sedona as part of the Northern Arizona Healthcare, but what cottonwood has is, and that as, and I'm looking around this room here, as my generation gets more feeble, it means more and more. And so that's, I think, is some development. Now, is that something that you guys get to be involved in? Is it all decided by the mucky mucks in Flagstaff, head of Northern Arizona Healthcare? Is there a benefit? Or is it all profit that's taken out of the community?
You know, I think the city has a good working relationship with the hospital, and we've teamed up on some of our things, and I think we have asked for their help. Like, we have a program called Looking Good Cottonwood,
yeah,
that kind of promotes people to get in shape, and they whoever loses the percentage of weight wins an award. But it's an asset to our city that we talk about. Because when people go to look for a place to live, one of the things they look at is medical.
Absolutely.
Particularly when people are retiring.
Yeah, it's a big draw for the retirement community. I think Cottonwood's very well poised to, you know, accept the baby boomer generation, which is currently booming, and they are going to move to Cottonwood. We're going to, Yavapai County, I think in 10 years, will be the oldest county in the state. So we're certainly attracting a lot of those folks here. My issue with that is that retirees typically are on fixed income, and the jobs that they bring with them are typically service-oriented jobs.
Right.
So that's not going to get Cottonwood into the future. It really isn't. It's not going to be a sustainable economy for us far into the future. So we have to couple that with a different economy. We have to have, you know, many different sources of revenue, again, it gets back to branding. Do we want to brand ourselves as a retirement community, or do we want to brand ourselves as a progressive community that, again, cares about education, cares about the river, can attract the entrepreneurs that we need here to help offset that retirement-based economy? That's very important for our future.
You know, the other asset that we have, even though it's in Clarkdale, Yavapai College is the Verde Valley campus.
Without a doubt.
And it has served so many of our young people. And I know that because I've been teaching English there for 23 years.
Oh, my.
And I meet so many people who tell me that Yavapai College has changed their life. It's affected their life in a very positive way. It's trained them for higher paid jobs. I've seen people who could barely get to school who are now nurses.
When we saw it decline, when we saw the college in the Verde Valley decline, is when we, on this show, we got, you know, really concerned.
Yeah.
And because we recognize what an economic engine it is in Prescott Valley. We recognize what an economic engine it is everywhere where you have a thriving community college. And to see them dialing it back and backing off, and especially in Sedona when they were ready to sell the campus. So you bet that tax-supported institution needs to be more fair all over the Verde Valley, and I think it's something that will really help the Valley grow.
Why don't you introduce our guests again? We got just a couple of minutes.
We got Terrence Pratt here, famous instructor from Yavapai College, councilperson and mayor for Canada. We have Tim Alinsky, the quiet, intense home improver.
And we have testimony from our largest supporter to your skill in working on his older house. He has one of those older houses in Clarkdale.
Bill.
Oh, Mr. Timberman. Great.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yes. No,
we don't call him Mr. Timberman. Don't you ever call him that.
Yeah. He sings your praises for the work that you did on his house. So
it's great.
I'm glad we always respect crafts people.
There you go.
And we also appreciate people running for office, for being involved in politics. It's so easy not to be. Mm-hmm. And both you guys are stepping up. You're running for mayor. You both have ideas on how the town should go. It's very important that we see that.
We want to thank those people that allow us to do this, namely Democrats of the Red Rocks, who have their breakfasts coming up. This Thursday,
they have the head of the Arizona Educational Association.
8:30 at the Old Town, the Old Sedona Bar and Grill. Please come check it out. We usually get good turnout there. We will be talking. We'll be talking to the gentleman from the AEA about the what I consider the debacle of Arizona education. And the horror. If you have a child, run as fast as you can. Go someplace else. You don't want them in Arizona because this is a horrible place to educate your child.
We'll be talking to the AEA next week. We'll have an interview.
Yep.
Good 45
We're going to talk about our co-worker, co-host here book, Antidote Free Politics, Antidote to Fact-Free Politics. Folks, we want to thank you. Please listen to our shows on bvid.org, bvid.org.
Been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.